It's that time of year. In-law season. But I'm ultra-prepared with Auto Bell Car Wash. The team will have my car so clean inside and out, I'll enjoy a judgment-free ride with my in-laws.
Right now, buy one Super Poly Process Wash and get one 40% off online at AutoBell.com.
It's the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour, presented by Firehouse Subs, founded by firemen with Pearson Fowler.
This has been in the works for a while. We're really excited to officially have the Gamecock Central Hour.
Chris Clark.
And JJ has accepted an invite to the Senior Bowl already, which is awesome, the Reese's Senior Bowl.
And Wes Mitchell.
I think he's well above 200 in the, like, the 210 range. A dude in the weight room, too, like from a strength standpoint.
On the home of the Gamecocks, 107.5 The Game. Game.
A minute after 11 o'clock on a Monday morning, Reaction Monday here on 107.5 The Game, and it's the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour. Pearson Fowler, Chris Clark, Wes Mitchell here with you. No Preston today. Can't wait to hear his thoughts on Carolina's just completely unexpected 63-38 win over Tennessee. When he gets back tomorrow, especially the defensive performance, which, of course, the offense steals the headlines here, but Carolina's defense did more than enough to win this football game for the Gamecocks. The DBs, Jalen Hyatt, didn't have the game people were expecting. Cam Smith was excited about that after the game, I think is fair to say. It was just an all-around unbelievable performance, completely unexpected. Chris.
Hi.
Like what?
Where do you want to start?
I don't know. We've hit on a lot today. I still don't understand really what happened. I've had all sorts of people texting me that are not Carolina football fans and don't care about Carolina football. They were like, what happened? And I was like, I was there and watched every single snap, and I do not know.
Yeah, I think it was just kind of a perfect storm of just everything. I mean, you know, like, Tennessee, it was the first time they had played in a night game on the road. Did that have anything to do with it? I have no idea. We went through that last week. Like, their road record, like, they hadn't played as well in one or two of the road games they had. One of their road games was a 40-13 win in Baton Rouge, but that was during the day. South Carolina, obviously, offensively, just about every single thing that could click, clicked. And that still doesn't even scratch the surface of what we ended up seeing in terms of the offensive explosion. But if you're just going to, if you're going to give like the biggest picture possible view, that's the only way that I can kind of square it in my mind, is just every single thing clicked. And we can unpack that, you know, more as to like some of the whys. I tried actually earlier today to write down about 10 things that happened offensively for South Carolina to be able to explode like that.
Like plays or kind of characteristics
things,
within performances?
Characteristics.
Okay.
Yeah. And I came up with about 10, I think. And I think just all those things considered, and each and every one of them happened. And then something you touched on, the defense played quite well also. And it wasn't as if Tennessee had limited possession. South Carolina was scoring a lot. Tennessee got a bunch of possessions in the
defense. Tennessee ran more plays than Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they still ran a lot of plays. And, you know, if you go into a game and say, you know, hey, Tennessee's going to run, what did it end up being?
78.
78, yeah. Tennessee's going to run 78 plays. What do you think? You're like, that's probably not good, you know. But come away with 38 points. So, I don't know. Everything clicked. There's a lot more to dive in into beyond that, obviously. But, I mean, We all talked about how it was going to be. The reason I did not project South Carolina to win the football game is, even if they played well, very well, it was kind of hard to envision them. It was very hard to envision them being able to keep pace. And as it turned out, they not only kept pace, they completely blew Tennessee's point total out of the water.
Carolina scored 18 touchdowns in their previous 7 SEC games combined. They scored 9 on Saturday. Who is the best individual performer Saturday night, Wes?
Number 7.
Okay.
Easy, right?
Is it easy?
Yes. My opinion. Yes.
I feel like three made a good case for himself.
There was a. There's a lot of guys. Really, honestly, the entire team deserves credit for this win. But when we were having that discussion about if you could put a magic wand on the offense or defense, we didn't think we would actually get to see it play out in real time. What would happen if that were to happen? We quite literally saw the offense play at its highest possible peak performance. I have been following South Carolina football since I was a kid. The only time I have personally seen a quarterback look better than Spencer Rattler on Saturday was Monday morning when I was rewatching the game from Saturday on the TV copy.
That's a good
because
one.
It was it was impressive to watch it in person.
Yeah.
And it was equally and then a touch more impressive. I don't know if he missed a throw.
That's what I'm wondering. So I haven't made it through the first half yet. He was 30 of 37. There were at least a couple of throwaways in there. A
couple of drops, a couple of just good defensive plays. There were no just straight-up misses, honestly. And he did everything. Now, you also, again, I give credit for the entire team. You got to credit to the O-line. You got to give credit to the receivers.
The protection was incredible the whole game.
But Spencer did a literally perfect job at navigating the pocket as well. He knew when to throw away. He knew when to escape to throw. He knew when to escape to run. He knew when to step up and keep his eyes down the field. The two dig routes he threw late third, early fourth quarter, one was on a third and 20. It was the same exact play. And it was that they call that mesh route on third down all the time where it's two shallow crosses sort of crossing paths, but they had the dig route, the deep dig behind it. And you can't throw that. You cannot complete that play unless you have great protection, which they did. And on both, it was like identical plays. They literally put them side by side on the ESPN broadcast. Spencer kept his eyes downfield, navigated the pocket, stepped up, and threw two lasers down the middle of the field. One of them was a little bit low. Juice made a great catch, but everything was going. I thought one of the best game plans I've seen at South Carolina, one of the best executions overall I've seen at South Carolina. They had everything working. I thought a big difference was they took easy access throws as well, built in a couple of quick outs to the tight end. You had an early throw to Trayvon Kenyon, a couple of early outside throws or late outside throws actually to Nate Atkins. Little quick hitches to the outside when Tennessee started playing off a little bit in the second half, and they just took what was there, the little short curls or quick hitches to the outside.
So can I pause you there? Because we heard in the offseason about a controlled passing game and kind of speculated what that was going to look like. And so far for most of the season, Carolina's short passing game has been almost exclusively screens. And I remember after the Missouri game thinking, what Missouri did is what I consider to be a controlled passing game. What Georgia does is a controlled passing game. And this is the first time that I think we've seen Carolina's offense take advantage of that. If you want to throw quick, that's fine, but it doesn't have to be a screen. Like you said, it can be the out to the tight end. It can be the hitch. You know, it was Juice running a comeback on a little play action boot. And Rattler actually even ended up under pressure. But, you know, there are ways to create easy throws and nice little gains here and there that the why of this game is really why hasn't this happened, but what you're pointing out is exactly what I feel like has been missing from this offense for most of the season.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll credit to my buddy Michael Beckham, who's also one of our moderators on GC. This was actually very similar to what we saw the first half of the Vandy game. Like that was the game you can sort of compare it to. Now, they had a bunch of penalties in the second half. They had a shot for a huge offensive performance if you look at what they did in the first half, and it just didn't happen. So it was very similar in terms of creativity, aggressiveness, moving the ball all over the field.
They scored on that double post concept to Xavier Leggett in the Vanderbilt game. That was the same play they ran to score Josh Van's first touchdown. So it was a lot of the same plays even.
So this was the Vandy game on steroids, I think. And that play is actually very, the one they scored on to Van is very Spurrier, Staple, Mills play-esque And that's where you, they detailed this as well, that's where you run that dig route underneath the post over top, and it takes the safety away. You're reading if that safety is going to take away the dig, which is like, I think, normally a 16, 18-yard type in cut, and then you run the post over top of it. So it's kind of a high-low read. And but Spencer, to get it back to that point, Spencer just made the right decision, I would dare say, all game. I mean, he was NBA Jam on fire. He was I don't know what the kids, Super Saiyan mode or what. Like he just was in the zone. Like I've never, like this is the Spencer Rattler go off game that we talked about all season. Like there, hey, there's always a chance that Rattler just goes off.
Mm-hmm.
This was that game. Tennessee had no answers. And they started, it seemed like in the second half, that third and 20 I'm referencing, they didn't trust their guys to play coverage against Carolina's receivers. So then as the game went on, they started dropping back into zone, it seemed like. And Carolina ripped them on that as well. Early on, it was a bunch of one-on-one 50-50 balls. Receivers got the better of the 50-50s, so they dropped back into zone. Carolina ripped them on that as well.
Well, and it helped tremendously that Tennessee wasn't really able to generate pressure. It was 44 dropbacks, I think 9 pressures for South Carolina. And a couple people, you know, like watching the game sit next to Heath, you know, pointing out that they weren't bringing pressure. They brought a little bit of pressure, but it's not like they were just straight rushing up front. It wasn't a lot of pressure. They ran some twists and things like that at times, but the protection was perfect. And like you said, Spencer navigated the pocket better than he has in any game this season. And that, like, if you're not going to get pressure and you have a guy like Spencer Rattler back there, he's going to pick any zone he sees apart all day.
Yeah, he ripped them. And a lot of people asking, is it a different scheme, is it a different offense? I mean, it's very, very similar to the offense all year. It was called more aggressively. There's better protection. And again, they incorporated much better this sort of easy access throws, I think. But, you know, I think you look, man, it literally, if you look at the first half of Vandy, the people saying it's completely different, it's completely different. First half of Vandy, that was a very, very similar. This was just on steroids, I think.
So I'm going to run through real quick. I said I had like 10 things. Wes actually hit on a few of them. Aggressive mentality, which he said. A little more DeCarrion Joyner.
Mm-hmm.
3, I'll clean this one up, screw it mode with some gadget plays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that kind of goes to number 1. Number 4, this is actually a big one. No check with me from Spencer to the sideline.
Yeah.
They freed, this is something we observed and we heard, they freed Spencer up a little bit more just to go out there and play. Okay. That's a big one. Number 5, elite protection. Y'all hit on that. 6, enough from the run game this time. Mm-hmm. Wasn't amazing.
Manufactured it.
They manufactured it. They got some up the middle runs.
Yep.
Instead of getting stuffed, 3 yards, 5 yards, 7 yards.
And the timeliness, you know, I think, and I didn't check this specifically, but it felt like Carolina was throwing often on first down, but it was 1st and 10, 2nd and 3, run for 3 and pick up the first down and keep the sticks moving. So it wasn't just the because it feels like this has been a very run heavy team on first down. They kind of, someone mentioned last week, you know, going against your tendencies. I think that was a really good time to go against your tendencies.
Yep. And I think that goes a little bit aggressive mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Where was I? Okay, enough from the run game this time. Number 7, great one-on-one plays. We saw a bunch of receivers coming down with one-on-one balls, breaking a tackle.
Juice Wells, Josh Van.
Juice Wells, Josh.
Atkins getting involved. Jaheim Bell, great game.
Yep. Leggett, like, running as far as you can possibly run for an 8-yard game.
Yes. Number 8, some bad defense by Tennessee at times. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number 9, some good fortune on a couple calls and penalties. The Spencer Rattler, one of the sacks, was wiped out.
Mm.
They got down
near hands to the face, maybe?
I think that was it. Well, down near the goal line, they had... he threw a ball, one of the very few balls that he missed. It was kind of a back shoulder that was short of the goal line. Yeah. I think that might have been the hands for the face. I think that was only like 1st or 2nd down anyway. Mm-hmm. And then even the Jaheim Bell drop, probably the best ball Spencer threw all night. I mean, handed it to him from 30 yards away. Jaheim couldn't come up with it, but a holding penalty, right? So they got another dial. That. And then number 10 was just Spencer was just amazing. So, I mean, there are 10 things right there.
The only thing I can disagree with, and I can't even disagree, I just could sit here and argue, I feel like there were like
10 balls I could have said were his best throw.
I threw that out open-endedly earlier. Like, what was your – there were so many to choose from. Actually, we got to hit a break here, but think about it. Just think about what your favorite Spencer throw was of the night. I have a nomination. I want y'all to hit us, too, 803-404-6100 on Twitter, too, at Pearson Fowler, Wes Mitchell, GC, and GC Chris Clark. Any thoughts that you have from the game in general? I also want to know specifically what your favorite Spencer throw was from the night. Unbelievable. The performance the Carolina fans have been waiting for. The question now becomes, is it replicable? But at least for today, we'll just focus on the Tennessee game and what was almost a perfect game for South Carolina's offense and for Spencer specifically. 803-404.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. It's true, for the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people. But what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate when compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members now. They've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yeah, they can handle your bills, too. And here's the thing. If you join MediShare Complete right now, before November 30th, they will waive your new member fee. So you're going to save even more. MediShare is the gold standard in healthcare sharing. And joining right now makes a lot of sense. Again, pay no new member fees if you join now and start enjoying great savings and a great way to handle your health care. Call now, 844-57-BIBLE. That's 844-57-BIBLE, 844-57-BIBLE.
The World Tournament of Soccer happening in Qatar is finally here. And with all the weird kickoff times and all the other sports happening simultaneously, it can be kind of hard to keep up. So to make sure you're up to speed, be sure to listen to Qatar Kick Around for the daily wrap-up of all the action from the tournament. From the group stage all the way to the final, Andy, Lars, and Peter are here for you with recaps and opinions of what happened that day in Qatar. Everything can be found at thekickaround.com, the Cumulus podcast channel on YouTube, or wherever you listen.
6100 Gamecock Central Takeover Hour continues.
It's the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour, presented by Firehouse Subs, founded by firemen, with Pearson Fowler, Chris Clark, and Wes Mitchell on the home of the Gamecocks, 107.5 The Game.
21 minutes after 11 o'clock on a Monday morning, a reaction Monday in Columbia. And welcome back into the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour. Chris, Wes, Pearson here with you, trying to make sense out of Carolina's 63-38 win against Tennessee. Unforeseeable. Almost anybody calling their shot today. It's crazy. If you told me Carolina was going to win, if you said I'm a time traveler from the future, Carolina upsets Tennessee Saturday, I would have said, okay, stranger things happen. Upsets happen in sports. How many turnovers did Tennessee have? How many special teams and defensive touchdowns did Carolina have? If you came to me and said, I'm a time traveler from the future, and Carolina beats Tennessee 63-38, and they score on every single real offensive possession except for one, a touchdown, I would have checked you into a mental institution and said there is no such thing as time travel.
Yeah. The way the game played out was, you know, very hard to believe.
Let me just say, this game, and I love movies and I love TV series as much as anybody, but this game is yet another example of why sports are better than movies, because there's always a chance. Like if you're watching a movie, you know the good guy's gonna win in the end. Sports,
that's not true.
Sports, that is true.
You just watch the wrong movies.
Sports. How many people out of the 78,000 people that were in that stadium legitimately walked in thinking this is the night South Carolina wins this game?
One. Cam Smith.
You know, I'm talking about in the stands. Like, this is why you watch sports, because for every single time you walked into that stadium, you tailgated, you had your pregame beers, you got your big spread going. For every single time you went in there and watched your team get beat by the number 5 team in the country
and sat through it and drove back home and sat in traffic. It's for the chance to watch your team do that. If you knew it was going to happen, if it happened every time, it wouldn't be special. So that's, to me, is why you just never know with sports. And it was such a weird day. We talked about on Buy or Sell, would a top 10 team in a college football playoff go down? For one, we didn't think it'd be this game. For two, all the teams that needed dubs had to, I mean, were in trouble all day long.
Well, I don't know if I texted you or if I texted somebody else, but as soon as Vanderbilt started beating Florida, I was like, Vanderbilt's going to beat Florida. Kentucky's going to beat Georgia. Carolina's going to beat Tennessee, because it's just that kind of game. You know, Ohio State eking out the Michigan win. Ohio State eking out the Maryland win. Michigan eking out the Illinois win. Like, it was just points galore all day. Let me ask you, though. When did the possibility of South Carolina winning the football game enter your brain?
I mean, the possibility... When they scored on their fourth straight drive of the game to start the game, and here's the thing. I think we got to start talking about Williams-Brice Stadium at night.
7-0.
As one of those places where...
dreams go to die?
If something positive happens early for the Gamecocks in these games, and the fans have a reason to stay in it.
Mm-hmm.
Hendon Hooker, by the way, hope he has a complete and total recovery. Love watching the guy play. Competitor. Amazing competitor. He missed some throws he normally makes, and I think that was because of the atmosphere, because of the pressure Carolina was able to put on him as far as game flow goes offensively. The real question, because you had to, and I'll give credit to the staff as well for Carolina, you had to manage this game. You're up 17, up 14, up 11. You had to manage this game like it was tied, even if you were up two or three scores, because you know how fast. They proved that their first offensive drive of the game. They can score like this.
The tempo is ridiculous to watch in person.
Yes, it's insane. And I think a lot of coaches, a lot of teams would have sort of been like, all right, we have the lead. It's like coaches can't help themselves.
Just try to salt it away.
Get a little bit too conservative. Carolina had the gas down right all the way up to the tack-on touchdown at the end.
Frankly, I was hoping they would go for 70 with like a minute to go in that last drive, but they didn't.
I mean, it was just impressive start to finish. The real question is that you thought they had a chance. When were you like, this is happening?
I have an answer, but I want to know when you thought it was possible, Chris.
I would say actually possible. And so you give a small percentage on that, you know, 14-7 Carolina. Because you're like, okay, they've scored two straight drives.
Yeah.
Like, could this be something?
Easily both times.
Could this be a thing? You know, and then it's 21-7 after the first quarter. And then you're even more so. Now, I kept like vacillating during the game between, are they going to win or is Tennessee? So Wes and I talked about this yesterday, just us two talking. At halftime, you know, South Carolina's up by 11. Tennessee's getting the ball back. You go, okay, Tennessee, they're probably going to come out and score, and now it's a one-score game if they get a two-point conversion, you know. So it's that and then it gets to 35-31.
Mm-hmm.
And you're
so
like,
they
right.
trade punts to open the second half, right. Which is like, well, we saw one punt in the whole first half, and now we got both punters on the field in 5 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, so if Tennessee comes out, they, you know, so when it's 35-31, you're like, all right, is there going to be, you know, the correction that maybe you might even expect? Didn't happen. South Carolina scored, and they scored again, and then they scored again, and they just kept it going. And so
I thought that 2-minute drill, which for Tennessee is like an 8-second drill, right at the end of the half to make it 35-24, I thought that was going to be a backbreaker for South Carolina, that they gave up that drive in that moment. I was like, it felt like you needed to be up 3 scores. They trade the punts. For me, when I knew they won was 49-31. Even before the Hendon Hooker fumble and Carolina taking over on the plus side of the field, that was the icing on the cake. To me, they had already kind of logged it. Because by that point, and here is my measure of what happened Saturday. At that point in the game, I was talking to DC about the who has the single game receiving record. I was talking to Heath about the most points Carolina scored in SEC play. Terry was looking at Spencer's career. We weren't talking about the game anymore. We were looking for stats. We were looking for history, points scored, points allowed, individual performances. By that point in the game, that's what we were thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say originally I knew after the Hooker fumble and then South Carolina punches it in, but, you know, that was fourth quarter. I mean, by the time, South Carolina scored to make it 49-31, and that was with a little under 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and Tennessee's down 28, even for Tennessee. Obviously, South Carolina's moved the football basically at will. So now you're even thinking, which is a jarring thought, right? You're thinking, all right, Tennessee could score four touchdowns in 12 minutes.
49-31, so 18, so three scores.
So you're thinking, okay, three touchdowns puts them up. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting there thinking, okay, even if Tennessee scores three touchdowns, they can't stop South Carolina's offense.
Exactly.
So, you know, it was like evident at that point.
Yeah. Wes? Yeah.
What's up?
Well, you got to answer your own question.
Oh, mine was the Birch fumble. That's when I was just like, all right, this is over. Because, those guys, you just have to manage the game differently against Tennessee's offense. And Carolina did. So I wasn't completely comfortable in saying, oh, yeah, this is happening until that happened. Because obviously, Tennessee had the ball. And then it's the double whammy of the turnover. And I think we all sort of knew when Hooker went down without contact, that means you're probably done.
Yeah.
So
have you seen the Tennessee message board posts that think that Carolina like rigged the field to hurt Hooker or something?
I've seen some doozies of Tennessee posts.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's an even better post, in my opinion, than the Texas A&M fan that thought that the fumbled snap should have been a punt. It's next level.
That wins and losses. So losses break people, you know, in terms of what they come up with.
Mm-hmm.
I think wins can too. Like this win has. Like, people are enjoying it. I feel like they should be enjoying it even more. But it's like breaking people because they just can't square what they saw.
Yeah.
So there's just, like, theories and stuff. It's like, no, they just pretty much destroyed Tennessee.
Well, we got a text here saying the only what happened that we're missing is just divine intervention because nothing else could explain that before. And honestly, it kind of feels like that. Want to hear more of your thoughts? 803-404-6100. Get to a few of you hanging on the phone lines.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is frustrating. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it really is a community, too. People encourage and pray for each other. Well, MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation, too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. And it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. Very worth looking into during Medicare open enrollment, which ends December 7th. If you join right now, your second month share will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 800-PSALM-16. That's 800-PSALM-16. 800-PSALM-16.
You hear that? That's the sound of fresh bacon sizzling on the grill here at Eggs Up Grill. Hear that? That's one of our new delicious grilled melt sandwiches. And that's a burger hot off the grill ready to be served.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sound of it being served. At Eggs Up Grill, we serve tasty lunches like mac and cheese bowls, sandwiches, salads, wraps, plus all our delicious brunch dishes.
Here you go. Enjoy your lunch.
Hear that? That's us being happy to see you. Eggs Up Grill. It's everything to make you smile.
More Wes and Chris's thoughts on this game. Plus, I didn't forget, we'll come back around to it. Your favorite Spencer throw of the night next.
It's the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour, presented by Firehouse Subs, founded by firemen with Pearson Fowler, Chris Clark, and Wes Mitchell on the home of the Gamecocks, 107.5 The Game.
36 minutes after 11 o'clock on a Monday morning, Reaction Monday here on 107.5 The Game, and welcome back into the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour. Pearson, Chris, Wes, here with you talking about Carolina's 63-38 win against Tennessee. As many times as I say that, it will never start to make sense. A crazy weekend. The South Carolina women's team winning in overtime at Stanford. The World Cup started. I'm about to throw up. I'm so excited to go watch the U.S. men's national team later. It's been too long since I've gotten to watch them play a World Cup game. Point is,
God, I love college football. That's the point.
That's Wes's point. My point is that, like, there's just so much.
I love college football.
Gonzaga and Kentucky yesterday. Full NFL slate. There's a lot to watch. It's hard to watch it all unless you have the folks at Integrated Media helping you.
That's a great point. I don't have to worry when I go home. Wes and I are going to do a podcast, but I will be in our bonus room at the house doing the podcast. Now we'll have the World Cup on in the background. Wes, sorry for any interruptions that I may have, but a great setup at the Clark household. Still no time to get in video games, but if you have a bunch of old video game systems, need them tied in, a bunch of cables that you don't even know what they are now because we don't use them anymore, RCA cables, controllers, all that stuff. You can tie them all in together, put them on a switcher. That's what they did for us. Didn't know it was possible. But that's the thing about the guys at Integrated Media. Michael, Nathan, their whole crew, if you don't even know what you want to do at your home from an audiovisual standpoint, you don't know what kind of TV you need, you don't know how big, you don't know even where to put it, they can come to your home, consult with you, and do a whole home audiovisual system, smart home installation services in addition to that. So smart homes, home theater, audiovisual, TV installation, security and cameras, anything from that standpoint that you need. Visit their website, integratedmediainc.com, or give them a call at 803-948-8327.
Wes, what was your favorite Spencer Rattler throw on Saturday?
God, there's a bunch. Back shoulder throw to Josh Van, complete at the one-yard line, dive into the end zone, touchdown.
Cool. Very good. Ray says his favorite was the first Josh Van touchdown, 65 yards on that high-low concept you mentioned. Austin said the first touchdown, 1 inch to the left, and it's deflected at least. Says 1 inch to the right, and Van can't get to it. Honorable mention to his Johnny Football impersonation on the touchdown pass to Bell, where he rolled right and then went back to the left.
There are no wrong answers, guys.
Well, and you talked about the improved awareness we saw from him and knowing when to run to throw and when to run to run. I think he had more rushing yards in that game than he did probably in the whole rest of the season combined. But that was a great example where, you know, there's nothing there on the right and you can just chuck it out of the back of the end zone. You can try to get like a yard or back to the line of scrimmage with your legs, but to reverse course to go all the way back there and then just, you know, find Jaheim Bell just chilling, honestly, in the flat. That was a very heads-up move. Chris, I want to get your pick in just a minute. 803-404-6100. Let's go out to the Love Chevy phone line, though, where Barry has some thoughts on the game. What's up, Barry?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
All right, I'm going to try and put this thing in as a neutral person, okay, in perspective, and the way I feel South Carolina fans should be looking at it, and anybody that saw this game across the nation the other day. I could be critical when I need to be, but Rattler played flawless game, and I know he had help. I'm not going to go into all the offensive line, all this now. I'm talking about Spencer Rattler. He had a game where I think his quarterback rating was 96.9, which is basically flawless, immaculate, okay, immaculate game. And we talked earlier about having a breakout game, and, you know, he had a breakout game at Oklahoma. He had a career game, a better than a career game. And I'm going to give you an analogy for the Carolina fans out there who are already calling up worried about the Satterfield situation. Do I think there was a change in the process of change calling for that game? Possibly. But let's not discuss the Satterfield situation. It's going to play out. They're not going to call me. They're not going to call you. That's going to play out regardless of what happens next week and the bowl game. But in 1977, I was at Yankee Stadium, 55,000 people in the world there. Reggie Jackson hit 3 home runs in one game to tie a Babe Ruth record. I was there. It was historic. Okay, it was the highlight of my life. That game the other night is the equivalent to that for me, and it should be the equivalent to that for anybody who was in that stadium. 72,000 fans that were in that game were in the stadium for what I deem to be the best game South Carolina has ever played, including the 2010 game against Alabama. More impressive, flawless game, prepared, but everybody better take this and realize what they experienced. The 72,000 people that were in that building the other night for that game to watch that team perform that well, it is that relevant. I mean, it's just equal to what I said, 3 home runs, game 6 to win a World Series for me. So let's appreciate that, okay? And let's not talk about Satterfield. Let's save that for another day. And then I would get your guys' thoughts.
Well, Barry, I appreciate the call as always. Yeah, I mean, you'll never probably see anything like that again for the rest of your life. I mean, probably certainly if you're a Carolina fan, but especially, I mean, or I would say even just for football fans, upsets happen. Upsets happen. Carolina upset Georgia a couple years ago as a bigger underdog. That line closed at 24.5, I think. This line closed at 22.5. But when you win a game like the Georgia game, turnover margin +3, Rodrigo Blankenship misses a couple of field goals, Israel Mukwamu picks 6. That was Carolina hanging on for dear life. If this game had been 2 more quarters, the final score would have been 100-50. There was no mistake in this. And so I think immaculate is probably a good word. In all 3 phases, that's as well as you will ever see probably any football team play against those odds.
Yeah, I agree. I love the word immaculate for it. And, I mean, I would invite anybody out there older than me. Well, I mean, is this the finest offensive performance considering the opponent for a Carolina offense in school history? Like, I mean, I would love to know the comparison for people who have just been watching ball, you know, for 50, 60 years. You know, I was talking to Tommy Moody before we came on, and, you know, he had mentioned a game or two. I think did Tommy Suggs have 5 touchdowns against Clemson, I think, back in the day. But certainly as far as quarterbacks go, this may be the finest QB performance. And offensively, I'll say this. I mean, and I'm not in any way taking anything away from that win over Georgia. It was special at the time, but this just felt different. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the most non-fluky 63 points mm-hmm. I have maybe ever seen in a football game. Because most of the time, if you score that many, for one, it's against a completely outmatched opponent. For two, normally there's a bunch of short fields, a bunch of turnovers, maybe a defensive score, a special team score.
And busted coverages, like egregious missed tackles. There wasn't that.
It wasn't. It was just they had the one short field on the fumble there towards the end. But for the most part, man, they were going up and down the field for the entire game mm-hmm. with quality execution. Even when they made mistakes, they had it early on. They had a couple of plays that put them back. They had a great first down play wiped out by an illegal man downfield. Very next play, Rattler throws the touchdown pass to Josh Van on mm-hmm. the post. So
yeah.
Even when they got out of sorts a little bit or had a play wiped out, they came right back, kept firing. I mean, it was throw after throw after throw that was on the money.
I think Gwen thought he was an eligible receiver because he was like 20 yards downfield on that. That was hilarious.
Apparently he likes to run down the field.
Huh?
Apparently he likes to run down the field.
Yeah, no, he just got like loads of energy. He just got to get out. But going, I mean, even like that first drive for South Carolina, 4th and 1, they're going for it. Illegal snap, which I've never heard of until Saturday, and they called it twice on Eric Douglas. But that's been what we expect from South Carolina's offense this season. They put themselves in a good position, they shoot themselves in the foot, and then something bad happens. But you go from 4th and 1 to 4th and 6. Credit to Shane Beamer for leaving the offense out on the field, not taking the easy early lead against Tennessee, mm-hmm. and you convert on the 4th and 6, and you're off to the races. So, I mean, it's you're right. Every time there was a setback, they were able to overcome it, which is not what we've seen from this offense most of the year.
Did y'all catch on the TV broadcast, they said that Beamer had pointed out, I guess in their conversations with him, that basically Tennessee's opponent last week, I hope I'm getting this right, that would have been Missouri, had basically punted on like several 4th and 5-ish situations. And they basically went in this game and said, we're not going to do that. We're not. Now, for them, it didn't actually come down to many of those decisions. But early on, you know, credit where it's due, they said they knew. It's one of those things, old school football against normal opponents, 35 years ago. Oh, let's take the early lead against it's like a psychological thing. Let's take the early lead. Field goals were not going to win this game. And I think that was they didn't play this game to just keep it close. They played this game to go win it. And I think there's something to be said for that,
well,
too.
Well, interestingly, I thought a pivotal moment was when Tennessee, in almost an identical situation, faced with a 4th and 6 deep in Carolina territory, elected not to go for it and decided to kick a field goal. And that represented, you know, yes, just 3 points, but it represented the difference in a 1-score lead and a 2-score lead for Carolina going into halftime. So credit to Shane Beamer for knowing that they were going to have to keep their foot on the gas the entire time. Appreciate the call, Barry. A few more of your thoughts, if you have them, as we wrap up a reaction Monday here on the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour, plus a full recap of our Friday buy or sell next.
It's the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour, presented by Firehouse Subs, founded by firemen, with Pearson Fowler, Chris Clark, and Wes Mitchell on the home of the Gamecocks, 107.5 The Game.
10 minutes in front of noon on a Monday morning. Reaction Monday here on 107.5 The Game, and welcome back into the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour. Pearson, Wes, Chris here with you. Preston back tomorrow. Get more of his thoughts on the defensive performance for South Carolina, especially. Cam Smith, amazing game. Followed Jalen Hyatt. We don't see that a lot. 6 catches, 65 yards. But was Tonka Hemingway the best individual player on that side of the ball Saturday?
Ooh.
Trying to think.
He might be Carolina's best defensive lineman.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. And I thought a bunch of guys played well. And the fact that it's one thing to say, we're going to make Tennessee beat us over the top. You can say that. It's another thing to execute it. And so really everyone in the secondary, Dial, Cam Smith, Darius Rush, DQ Smith, Nikem Inwori, who, you know, had an abbreviated stint in this game.
Peyton Williams.
How about Peyton Williams coming in? Hasn't played really all year except for some special teams.
It's like one busted coverage.
He played 50-something snaps in this game. So just a great job. Torian Gray, you know, very, I think, underrated job with what he's done with this group, too. Lots of talent, but some youth, too. I'd go with Tonk. I mean, there were times he was so disruptive. There were some times where they, just because of how they were playing things schematically up front for Tennessee, they were doubling him, and he still he'd beat two guys and get some pressure. So he had a tremendous game.
I'll probably bring this up again tomorrow, but there was a sequence, and it ended up being pivotal. I mentioned Carolina holding Tennessee to the field goal was huge, but the only punt of the first half, it was 1st and 10. Tennessee ran Jabari Small. Tonka Hemingway was blocked and still managed to pull down Jabari Small from behind for a 2-yard gain. The next play is a hold, so it's 2nd and 18. On that second down play, Tonka beats the right guard, sidesteps the running back who was in the block, and sacks Hendon Hooker, sets up a 3rd and 28 incomplete pass, and Carolina gets, you know, one of the few stops in that game. Ended up being absolutely pivotal. So I thought he was magnificent on Saturday night. Before we get a recap of buy or sell, Chris, you got to give us your favorite Spencer pass from the night.
There were lots of candidates. Honestly, just a little bit. It's going to sound a little more sentimental pick. I'm going to go with the. With the short pass to Jaheim Bell.
On the rollback?
On the little rollback. Okay. High disrespect level. just illustrated how the whole game went. Just they had it covered up. They had the first option covered up. I think the play was going to go to maybe Nate Atkins. He just bought time, threw it to Jaheim, who was wide open. Jaheim jumps over the goal line. Kamal Hayden, number 5 for Tennessee, who was jawing all game.
God, that guy talked a lot.
Then tried to swipe the ball from Jaheim, who just put it behind his back real smooth. That was the best one.
I was going to pick the 2nd Josh Van touchdown, the back shoulder throw, but Wes already mentioned that. So I'll give an honorable mention to that first, I think it was the first 3rd down throw to Juice. Tennessee was in zone, and he like squeezed the ball in, past the linebacker, inside of the safety. Just the ball placement was on point all night for Spencer, so wanted to give an honorable mention to that, one of my favorite throws. All right, none of us thought this was going to happen, so I'm interested to see what the results were for buy or sell. Also, we got to have Kendall Walsh back next week because she was good luck.
Yeah, she has. She's already texted me and said, can I come back? Her group chat was blowing up saying that because Kendall was in here, that that's why Carolina won. So Kendall was invited to Firehouse Subs on Friday, I believe. Kendall Walsh, my good friend and my realtor, she can be yours as well. The Moore Company, 803-414-3590. As she told y'all on Friday, it's at Work With Walsh, Twitter, Instagram, and workwithwalsh@gmail.com. Give her a shout. How do y'all feel? Do y'all remember how you did?
Well, wait, we picked five?
Did four.
Four? I think I was 2-2.
One of three running backs not named the guys who carry the ball will carry the ball. Everyone balked except me. So
you're the only one that got that right. Carolina correct. Had a lot of different rushers, but not one of those three guys.
Exactly. Jalen Hyatt, two touchdowns or more. The GC guys both balked. Everyone else sold. So we're all 1-1 at this point. College football playoff top 10 team will go down. I actually thought TCU was going down this week to Baylor. This close. Shout out to them for hitting a field goal late. However, everybody balked. That did happen because it was South Carolina, except for Chris Clark, who sold.
You said everybody was 1-1. I was 0-2 after the first two.
Oh, well, I was getting some 0-3. Extra thank credit, you. Man.
I'm 0-3.
South Carolina will cover the spread. Pearson sold. Chris sold. Kendall, myself, and Preston bought. And Pearson laughed in my face just for saying South Carolina could score 21. I could feel the ire from behind the glass. He looked me right in the eyes.
I couldn't believe it.
And laughed at me and was like, this guy said 21, which was still far, 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 far below what Carolina actually did.
Not only did they cover plus 22.5, they would have covered minus 22.5.
Yeah, you said 21. They literally
scored
that.
They scored that on the first three possessions.
They tripled that.
Of the game.
Wow. Crazy.
But yes, so think I
that
got
was an over for me.
I got three of the four. Preston got three of the four as well. Yes, but Preston's not here, so
he doesn't get to celebrate.
So I will take my moment. Wow, what a game! Shout out to everybody, and like you said, man, how about the unsung heroes, the obvious guys who played great in this game? You know, we could talk about them all day, but I thought Preston Williams coming up big, like you said. I mean, when Neiman Worry went down, I was like, that's going to be tough. You mentioned Nate Atkins, unsung hero. How about Hank Manos? Hasn't played all year long. Mm-hmm. Only played, I think, a drive or two, but steps in, number five team in the country, hangs in there on senior night. Carolina's DBs. Going out there, just matching up, hanging in there, knowing these guys are going to get their yards. They tackled very well, which was Shane Beamer's number one key to victory going into this game for the defense.
Very good. Congratulations, Wes. And last thing, because it was, you mentioned this just makes you love college football. It was a crazy weekend. I forgot to mention, but you brought it up. The end of the TCU game, 12 seconds, no way to stop the clock. You run the field goal team out there. You hit the game-winning field goal. And after the game, Sonny Dykes is like, yeah, we practiced that on Thursday. It's like the most ridiculous fire drill I've ever seen. An incredibly exciting ending.
I think we need to go more in-depth to that tomorrow.
Yeah, we will.
That was,
we will.
I got a lot of thoughts on that one.
It was a wild weekend. South Carolina beating Tennessee. Just the tip of the iceberg if you're a college football fan. Appreciate you all being a part of the show today. As always, for listening. We'll have a lot more on Carolina and Tennessee tomorrow, as will Jay and Terry on the Halftime Show, which is coming up next.
You're worried about the economy. Inflation is high. Your paycheck doesn't cover as much as it used to. And we live under the threat of a looming recession. And sure, you're doing okay, but you could be doing better.
The Afford Anything podcast explains the economy and the market, detailing how to make wise choices on the way you spend and invest.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.